Good evening. Gilles and I both need to repent. He needs to repent for making me sound better than I am, and I need to repent for enjoying it. And so, on that basis, just so I can put this up here for a moment, if you have high blood pressure or high cholesterol, would you stand, please? You know that it's you, so just... I got you. Okay. If you have high blood pressure or high cholesterol, please stand. Okay, why don't we pray? Because actually, you know, in relation to the kingdom of God, we always wait until things get really serious. So why not start when they're not? Okay? So let's just pray together. Let's just reach out. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you that it's not just a title that you bear, but it is who you are as you stand here among us. We thank you that you are Christ the healer. And so in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we take authority over high and low blood pressure. We take authority over high cholesterol. And we command you in Jesus' name to come down to normal levels of created operation. We give you no place in our lives. You have no title, no deed, no right over us. And we say in the name of Jesus Christ, to high blood pressure, to low blood pressure, to high cholesterol, come into normal operation in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Okay, please be seated. Now, if you've had high cholesterol and you've been prayed for, please don't go and eat a bag of chips. Give God a hand, would you? I am the director of the Acorn Christian Healing Foundation. And I keep reminding our staff that the clue is in the name. The Acorn Christian Healing Foundation. That's body, mind, spirit. The theologian Hans Kung said the kingdom of God is creation healed in every aspect. And that's what we're here for. I didn't used to be an Anglican vicar. I used to be normal once. And for 19 years, I was the senior pastor of Vineyard Church in Loughton. Some of my friends think I'm backsliding. And I love freaking them out. It's quite a good occupation to have. I'm married. I know that because I have children. I know that because I've got a bank balance that goes with having children. If you remember any of those sort of things. I have a wife as well, which is very good. I was being rather cheeky because I actually introduced Mary as my first wife. Which, of course, she is. I mean, she's the only one I've got, but she is, so technically, my first wife. And people all looked at me like, ooh. You know how Christians do, don't you? Just for prayer. I've been married for 42 years to the same woman. Thank you. I think it says more about her courage than my wisdom, but hey, never mind. I have 8.5 grandchildren. Wow. Grandchildren are God's reward for not killing your own. And the great thing about grandchildren is, do you know what, grandparents, the great thing about grandchildren is this, as they get in the car to leave, that's when you give them a tube of Smarties. And you think, payback. So, tonight, I am. Gilles says, can you be finished by 9:15? And I just want to introduce the theme to you, and we're going to move on. I had a really interesting conversation with my friend Jung Daravala, who is part of Acorn's ministry. The problem is, he doesn't remember having the conversation with me. You can pray for him if you like, but we both felt something funny God happened with us. Because I remember standing at the end of the stairs in Acorn, and I was speaking to Jung, and we were talking about this conference. And he said to me, you need to look at the book of Haggai. So I did. I actually went on retreat, and I read the book of Haggai because he'd encouraged me to. And I knew that God was speaking to me through it. The problem is, when I told him that God really spoke to me through it, he said it wasn't me. So I went round the rest of the team in Acorn and I said, which of you told me to read the book of Haggai for this conference? And they said, none of us did. So that really interested me. Because I said, oh, Lord, you sent somebody who looked exactly like Jung. And because I encouraged him, because there is now an angel that looks exactly like him, which I think is really cool. You know, his wife doesn't think that she's married to an angel, but, you know, however you want it. Anyhow, let me get back to it, and then I'll pray, and then I'll get off. Is that right? Because he's going to come and get me off any minute now. If you have a Bible and you're interested, you could read with me from the book of Haggai. I want to read a few verses, make a couple of comments, and then close in prayer. But I agree with Sheila. Why wait till Sunday afternoon? You need healing? Why don't you start tonight? You need releasing? Why don't you start tonight? Why don't you go to bed different than when you started today? Do you know that the king, when he came to worship in the temple, he came in by one door and he left by another? And it was a lesson to the entire nation that you don't leave the presence of God the same way you came. That something is meant to happen to you. We did the little blood pressure thing. A lady came to me at the just a half hour after the service. And she said, I've been into my car. And I want to say congratulations. I mean, you know, great. She said, I've sat in my car and my blood pressure, my diastolic reading, that's the lowest reading, is so high that I am on critical medication. She said, and I sat in my car, she said, and my blood pressure monitor that I have to carry with me doesn't work anymore. So I said, why? She says, because it keeps saying 120 over 80. So I said, okay, well, you may want to go, I mean, man of faith. I said, you may want to go home and change the batteries. Maybe they're just a bit duff, you know. So she went home and she tested her blood pressure. Please don't do this. It's not the right way to do it. But she tested it virtually every hour on the Sunday and on the Monday and for every day of the week. And I was in the same church just a couple of weeks ago. And she, I didn't know she was going to do it. She stood up. She said, I am on week 10. And my blood pressure is normal. And it was critical when I came in. Pray for a lady who had 8 years of irritable bowel syndrome, which is a bit of an irritation. And you know, the healing thing is really not that difficult. You just got to do the way Jesus did. Have you noticed the prayers of Jesus are really short? Be healed. It's not like be healed and let me give you 1,000 reasons why God should do it. It's just really. So we just laid hands on her and we said, in the name of Jesus, we speak to this condition, we tell it to go right now. We said, the kingdom of God has come upon you in Jesus' name. She said the following Sunday, she had her first pain-free week for 8 years. And then she had a second and a third and a fourth. She's now on her sixth pain-free week. Do you know, some of the people who God is using are the wonderful nobodies of the kingdom. I think God likes that. They sneak in, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, leave the kingdom of God and move on. So let's read this. In the first year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. It's only really this book and Jeremiah that will call the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. Time of crisis and need. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, these people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, is it time for you yourselves to live in panelled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you fared. You've sown much and harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm. And you earn wages. When you earn wages to put them in a bag full of holes. I read the passage and I read it again and again. Do you know, one of the things that you need to just grasp out of this, a little bit of context. The people had returned after exile, after the decree of Cyrus in 538 BC, just Hold that for a moment. But only 50,000 Jews responded to the call to come back and build the Lord's house. Such was the state of the nation that only 50,000 returned. You have to bear that in mind in relation to the fact that probably 2.5 million crossed the Red Sea out of Egypt, and only 50,000 came back. They initially started building, but became too discouraged, and the work had stopped for 15 years. Haggai, his name means festival or feast. Do you know, have you been to prayer and fasting conferences? Aren't they joyful occasions? We're sort of currently running praise and feasting conferences. I think that sounds a whole lot better. You know, let's party on down with Jesus. And his name means festival, feast, something to celebrate. He prophesied for about 4 months in the period from August to December, in the second year of Darius the First, Hystaspes. That was his name. Darius the First. He was a contemporary to Zechariah, who prophesied 2 months before him. So when you start putting this together, God is up to something. Let me say to the River Network, God is up to something. Yeah. Well, there's three people who are really pleased about that. The rest of you are like, frankly, you know. But God is up to something. That's why you're here. Because God is up to something. And Haggai stirred the people to start rebuilding. And you know, the work that had stopped for 15 years was completed in 4. When God puts his mind to you, something happens very quickly. So the question I want to present to you, and one of the things that really interests me about God, I mean, among the many things that interest me about God, is the way that he uses questions to get our attention. The trouble with the church is we're too busy giving answers. And God specializes in questions. Do you know the first 4 times that God speaks in the Bible after "let there be," the first 4 times, they're all questions. Where are you? What have you done? Who told you? Where is your brother? And one of the issues that I want to just put in front of us, because we're living this journey as Acorn. I'm the director of the Acorn Christian Healing Foundation in Borden. I'm also a vicar attached to St. Luke's in Greyshot, which is where I get to dress like a penguin. And but you know, the interesting thing is that God is up to something. The problem with the church is that we keep squeezing God back into the box that he's trying to get out of. Like a mighty tortoise moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where we've always trod. But do you know the funny thing about the church is we get to blame God for it. The fact that things aren't changing, we get to say, well, it must be God, it must be his will. And I want to say, are you mad? I mean, I don't put it quite like that. I do it nicely. Really? That's interesting. It's not interesting at all. Are you mad? Because in the end, when you look at God, he isn't sitting there thinking, let's keep things the way they are. He's saying, let's change the world. So this is when I upset you. What things are important to God that are no longer important to you? What things are important to God that are no longer important to us? What do we stop doing? Because we're bored. It's repetitive. We get distracted. Do you know, I've been through the prayer movement, the evangelism movement, the worship movement, the intercession movement, the small group movement. I've been through the street evangelism movement. I've been through the intercessory prayer movement. I've been for the deep intercessory prayer movement. We've done them all. And the trouble is, we're all looking for the wrong thing in the wrong place. Revival is God accelerating the work he normally does. But we look for something else. And Yinka's going to tell us a lot about that. Maybe we get distracted because of difficulty. Maybe we're just careless. Do you know the Jews trod carefully in the Lord's presence? I worry about us charismatics. In an effort to be non-religious, we're in danger of being unspiritual. And I speak as a charismatic. I only wear this to fool people. It means I can sneak up on them when they're not looking and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command it. You see, the beautiful thing about it is this. I used to, when I was the senior pastor of Vineyard, I used to have a little joke with the church. You can do that when you're a pastor, can't you? And they have to be nice to you about it as well. And I used to say, I just want to remind you that we're a charismatic church. And they looked at me saying, sorry? I said, you know those things that we believe in but we don't do anymore? Maybe tomorrow I'll just talk for a few minutes. Quick stop for a few minutes about, do you know the place that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are supposed to be used are not in church? It's supposed to be in everyday life. Yeah? And he didn't pay me to say that. The trouble is, we think God's only interested in doing the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, the next time you get a prophetic word, try it in Sainsbury's. There's a guy, I'm next to the vegetables. I haven't got time, I'm sorry. Let me close in prayer. I'm in Sainsbury's, and this guy, he is big. He's a huge bloke. And he stands up in front of me by the vegetable rack in Sainsbury's, just like this. And he says, can God forgive anything? I'm thinking, this is the vegetable rack at Sainsbury's. And actually, Vineyard was big enough for not me to not know everybody who came in. And he'd been in. And he saw me in Sainsbury's and he stood up. I didn't have the courage to tell him to go away. He was huge. And he told me a story. See, that's where you need the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Next to the vegetable rack in Sainsbury's. Yes. In the garage, by the petrol pump. In the restaurant. I'm with a friend who's a Nigerian pastor. And he likes being with me because he doesn't get me. And I'd been at a meeting at Westminster Central Hall. And so I was in sort of gear and he met me and we had a meal in a restaurant. And I was just telling some folks at mealtime. And the waitress comes in and she says, "What can I take your order?" I said, "Yeah, what do you think's good?" And she told me and she looked at me and she went off. And then a couple of minutes later, she comes back. She said, "Excuse me, sir, may I ask you a question?" And I knew it wasn't about our order. So I said, "Yeah, what is it?" And she told me. And I just answered as the Holy Spirit gave to me. And I said, "Can I just pray, Lord, would you please bless this woman right now?" This is in the restaurant, just here. You don't have to close your eyes. It looks weird. Okay. So I just said, "I will pray, God, would you bless this woman?" And she goes, "Oh, oh, what's that?" And I said, "Oh, that happens all the time. That's just Jesus. He just can't keep his hands to himself. He just wants to bless. My Nigerian friend, he goes, "I must get one of these. It is very good." Listen, you're having far too much fun tonight. You're supposed to be tired. So let me finish with this. God's first message through Haggai was about priorities. His second message will be about perspectives. And they're the two things that we will deal with tonight over the next weekend. But you know, through the book of Haggai, God is not telling his people off. He is sharing his passion for his house. God loves the church. He still loves the church. If he can love Corinthians, he can love anybody. God loves the church. So here's, as I close, that's to give Gila just a bit of an inroad. Here's my question that I'd like you to take away tonight. Okay? It's going to upset you. You're going to be awake, but never mind. What's the difference between a Christian and a disciple of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you're up to something. And I say, Lord, bring it on. Lord, this week, bring it on. This weekend, bring it on. Lord, tonight, in dreams and revelation and the visitation of your Spirit, bring it on. Because, God, we've come here to meet with you. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.